Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
A technician of football information is Neil Coolong. Sir, always a pleasure.
Always, it is my pleasure as well. I hope you guys are in a less snowy environment than I am right now. I believe that it seems the tsunami in the greater Twin Cities area has begun and will likely bury me for the next 48 hours. So
I was there. Yeah, I was there Saturday. I was there Friday night and Saturday, and I saw the forecast. I looked around. Everybody said, "As soon as this game's over, we're out of here."
Yeah, I'm out of here. not running any risk.
Nope.
Not sticking around.
I mean, look, the Center City Marriott's great. It really is. But time to go. Of course, we're in the offseason now. A.J. Brown has already said he wants to be traded if the Eagles don't sign Jalen Hurts. Let's pretend that that's even a possibility.
I was literally just talking about this with somebody about 20 minutes ago. I don't know how much choice teams think that they have. If assuming they want their MVP level quarterback, and if anything, it seems to me that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman kind of presented it as, oh, he'll get it. You know, this isn't even really a question in our mind. That to me is the only answer, because you have to look at this in comparison from that one answer. And actions speak louder than words. We'll see. It's not the time that they're going to sign him to an extension, but that's coming soon. Like within weeks, not years. That versus what Baltimore has done, and at the tail end of the opportunity they've had to sign their MVP level quarterback, up until the time where they're presumably going to give him the franchise tag. And it amazes me, because it's like you have to be all in on this.
Yeah.
Half measure. You can't. There's no renegotiation after a year. That just simply doesn't happen. I understand maybe wanting to make the player play out through the fifth year, just to make sure you've got everything that you want. You've got the best picture of where things are going forward. But in reality, you're only pushing the large dollars of that contract into the later years. If that's a risk to you, what value does he have today? That's the part that I don't understand. The franchise tag, if you're going to give him one, if for a quarterback, you better be prepared to give him two. You're only delaying and probably lessening the trade value that he would have. So if you're going to tag him now, it better be with the intent to trade him. And you have to trade him before the draft. Otherwise, you're going into next season with Tyler Huntley. You want to do that again? I think we've seen him often enough. And to me, and I shouldn't put words into the ownership of the Eagles' mouths or anything, but I think they recognize that. I think that they see, you know, we can control some of this, but when the rubber meets the road, this is probably what the contract is going to look like. And we really should, you know, this is not the time to clutch pearls. Let's sign the quarterback, and let's start to build around the quarterback. The window of winning in this league is really narrow, and we know that because I remember when everyone talked about how many Super Bowls the Packers were going to win after they won the 2010 league championship. I remember how many Seattle was going to win. Of course, New England won all the time. Denver was going to win more. It seems as if that their opportunity to win doesn't really exist so much in a three-year window without massive change each and every year. That's the way the league goes. But the one thing we know, allow me to have two things in here just to set up the logic. One thing we know is you can't win the Super Bowl in the playoffs. And the one thing we know to be universally linked to making the playoffs each and every year is having an outstanding quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you have that outstanding quarterback, you add darts that you can throw at the Super Bowl board, you get into the playoffs, and figure it out from there. That's the way the league operates. It has to be. There's no other logical way to go about it. So So if you have a quarterback, in my opinion, trying to scrimp and save over what would be tantamount to tens of millions of dollars, I get it. But that's the premium that you have to pay to get that position. Otherwise, do you want to continue to draft in the second round for the most important position in sports every year? I don't think that's a good strategy. I think if you have them in front of you, it's worth a lot more than having to constantly roll the dice. Philadelphia did an excellent job building up one of the league's best players this season. And there's really no reason in my mind they can't continue to do that, and they should. They lost both coordinators. They lost other position coaches. They'll lose guys in free agency. It happens to Super Bowl champions every year. You have to take what is the most valuable that you can control and keep that in place. That's Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's even a question.
Yeah, because right now their unrestricted free agents are James Bradbury, Fletcher Cox, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, Linval Joseph, Jason Kelsey, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Isaac Ciamolo, Ndamukong Suh, Andre Dillard, T.J. Edwards, Marcus Epps, Brett Kern, Gardner Minshew, Zach Pascal, Robert Quinn, and Kaiser White. That's quite a list.
It seems daunting. you do it the same way you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. They'll piece together the roster that they need to, because every team does that. That's the position every team is in. People just tend to look at this as something that only occurs to a team as soon as the season is over, as soon as the Super Bowl winning, losing, whatever, that dies down. Okay, let's dive into it. These are usually the result of 2-3 year plans. I don't think fans are aware of this either, but they have 25, 30-person accounting teams that are put together to help mitigate their caps and contracts. That's usually the largest department next to scouting. It could be bigger than scouting in a lot of places within an NFL team. There's a lot to go over. They are fully prepared. They know the situation that they're in. They try to provide as much stability and much structure as they can to a fluid and dynamic situation. You don't know where players are going to be. They have the season-ending interviews with every player for that reason. You're kind of letting them know what they're seeing, what they expect. They have to review the tape. A lot of those guys have surgery that we don't ever hear about. You have to wait for medical prognosis or medical diagnosis, their ability to recover, what they're worth coming back. It's brutal. It's cold, but that's part of assembling the roster. So they're aware of all of the issues that they have, but at the same time, every team with a great quarterback has those problems every year.
Right.
And they still have a great quarterback, and they tend to go to the playoffs. So with that in mind, it just seems like we need to take care of this, and then we will deal with this part. This part is going to come up every single year. Having to replace an MVP-level quarterback every year is not a tenable solution for anybody. Nobody wants to be in that situation year in and year out. I think that's needless to say.
So as Aaron Rodgers is surrounded by darkness, what are your thoughts on Derek Carr?
With Carr, I would say it's interesting to me, because what he's really saying by not accepting a trade. Now, let's assume that New Orleans was really interested in that. I'm not entirely sure they had ample reason to be interested in Carr's contract this year, short of the fact that he's a very easy cut in 2024. Cap hit for that would have been minimal. They would have dumped a bunch. They would not have had to keep Derek Carr on their team beyond 2023. If they're trading for him, then obviously he's going to be on their team. Probably not get assurance you would like that the Saints or perhaps any team was interested in his contract as written for 2024. He certainly got that message from the Raiders. They didn't want him in 2023. And I don't blame them for that. The contract that he had is just not really workable for where he is age-wise, for where he is physically. If I was a team looking to acquire a veteran starter, an unquestioned starter like Derek Carr, knowing that I'm going to pay a premium on the market, I want that premium to be something I agree upon. Not the contract as a whole, take it or leave it, but the contract that I wrote up. So the Jets talking to Carr, I think, makes a lot of sense. They're in need of a quarterback. Derek Carr might not be as talented as Aaron Rodgers from one perspective. I'll say this. I couldn't find a reason to invest draft capital plus a significant amount of cash in Aaron Rodgers right now.
Right.
I just wouldn't. That's me. If I had to take Derek Carr at that $30 million range for a season, maybe two, I'd be okay with that. Taking Rodgers at the level that he's at, 45 to 50 for 2 years, seems like a pretty big stretch. I don't think I could do that. Carr at that price, though, which is roughly market, that's probably what you're going to pay. Any team is roughly going to pay the same. I don't know how good he is overall. I know this. He was a lot better in 2021 under a different coach and a different offense. Josh McDaniels comes in. They were doing a lot of different stuff. Devontae Adams, as good a player as he is, was running different stuff than he was used to running. Carr wasn't used to throwing it. It took him two-thirds of the season to finally start hitting a little bit. They got a lot better by the end. That is to say, they were really bad in the beginning. It was obvious things just weren't working. It wasn't a physical thing as much. I think there's enough with Carr. If I was certain that we were going to run, it was what he was familiar with, what he was comfortable with, what he could do, I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not completely against the idea that that's a pretty tough 1-2 year thing to pick up at that price range, but you're going to probably have to give him 2 years. How much guaranteed money is going to be in that second year? I'm not sure there's that much market there for him, but it's possible. I don't think it's a terrible idea for the Jets. If it's me, honestly, the Jets probably don't have the cap space to make it work with Carr right now. There's a lot of things that they need to do. And to me, that really spells out Rodgers, because to get Rodgers right now, you got to trade for him, unless the Packers are going to cut him. And if the Packers cut him, the cap penalty for that is enormous, massive.
Yeah.
So
yep.
They're not in a position to just release him, and the Jets couldn't acquire him via trade. So really, oddly enough, the Jets are the perfect place for Carr, because Vegas is the perfect place for Rodgers. That's the only team right now that could absorb Rodgers' current contract, which they have right to do if they're acquiring him via trade. Now, they can rework the deal when they get him, but they have to acquire him first, unless the Packers cut him. And the Packers absolutely do not want to cut Aaron Rodgers after all this and not get anything out of it. So Vegas is the only option, really, for Rodgers. And to me, that puts Carr right in the middle of the crosshairs for the Jets.
Well, and there's another part to it, too. Rodgers better show up in shape wherever he goes, because you and I both know he wasn't quite there this year. One last one. Eric Bieniemy ends up going to Washington. New title, bigger title, and overall offensive coordinator. We know that his background has not been the smoothest, all right? But I also feel that in a well-done press conference, you can take care of that issue, okay, in terms of what people say, because it's been a while. How do you view him going to Washington in all this? Because so many people feel he should be a head coach.
It's tough, because what we would publicly know, kind of the combination of you're associated with an offense that scores a lot of points and has a lot of success.
Yep. Yep.
Players, particularly the quarterback, speak volumes about him as a leader, as a teacher. These are all things that usually equate very quickly to somebody becoming a head coach. In fact, what would really be interesting is to go over the amount of coordinators who were hired as first-time head coaches over the last 6 years, when it's been obvious that Eric Bieniemy has been a very good candidate in those standards. By the average time those coaches were in the offensive coordinator position, I'll bet you any amount of money I put the over-under at 2 years. I take the under all day. Mm-hmm. Most of them did not have the job very long. The enemy's been there forever. Hard to think, just through osmosis, he hasn't absorbed enough information to think that he's capable of knowing, of figuring out what to do. Being around a great leader like Andy Reid should be a good leader. One way or another, that doesn't seem to be working. So you have to wonder about things that we won't hear about specifically. And race is one of those things. It's hard to say when of, 18 head coaching openings to come up, 16 of them go to white guys. You can't say that this isn't worth looking into at the very least. Or is it he's lived in the shadow of Andy Reid and apparently can't do anything without Andy Reid, which is the conclusion multiple teams have come to after interviewing him. Despite the fact his players say he's actively involved, I don't feel plays should be what the head coach does, in my opinion, my philosophy. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily something every coach is going to do, and they'll have different levels of success. But I would bet any money, too, every one of those coaches is going to do it for a bit, and they're not going to do it for a bit. So I don't feel that he has to be Andy Reid in order to have a head coaching job. You can find somebody to call the plays based on the direction you want them to go, based on the offense that you are helping to create and drop. That's what leaders do. So overall, or somewhere in the range of LeBron James' salary to be a head coach. He must be the worst interviewer of all time.
Yeah.
There must be some type of vendetta against him for any one of countless reasons. I don't see why he hasn't been given the opportunity to this point. And I said that 3 years ago. The fact that it's going on now, there's obviously something.
Yeah.
So until we find out what that is, I don't know. But one thing that I think he might have said this, or somebody was paraphrasing him, the idea of him leaving Kansas City for more money, which amazes me because he must be by far the highest paid coordinator in the game by now, going to work under what's thought to be a defensive-minded coach would round him out a little bit better. It seems crazy to me. I don't... I really sincerely hope he didn't choose to go to the most dysfunctional organization in all of sports to better himself. I mean, that doesn't seem right. It seems more likely he'd get fired because Rivera could get fired at the end of next season, too. Now he's got to make a second-year quarterback who was taken in the second round into a star in order to keep whatever foothold he has on a head coaching job. Seems like a risky move to me.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going from Patrick Mahomes to either Taylor Heineke or Sam Howell. Yeah, it seems really good. If you can make that work, you should be the head coach.
Hey, you know what? I don't even know who Washington's offensive coordinator was last season. He didn't make it work. I don't know why the enemy is going to, and that's not the fault of the enemy. You need the dudes. You have to have the horses to pull the sled. And I don't know. Maybe Kansas City said, look, we can't afford to pay you $7 million to be the coordinator anymore. We'll find you another job. But whatever it is, I don't know. It's a real weird situation. I just feel like at some point, probably not today or tomorrow, but at some point we're going to find out a lot more about what has gone on with all of this. I think there's a lot more we don't know about.
Agreed. All right. I hope you own a snowblower.
I do not, but my neighbor does. So
good.
Take care of the early shoveling. The bottom would drive it out of the way if they plowed. And then he'll come over and snowblow the rest of my driveway. It's kind of a mutual agreement among sufferers.
Well, to quote my basketball broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, brutal. Okay. and that's a quote. Neil, good luck with all this, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thanks for having me.